It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to Pound for Pound, your one-stop shop for everything MMA, combat sports, boxing, you name it, we got it covered. I'm your host, Andrew Canary, and I'm here with Mahdi Dembele. He hasn't been on the show for a couple weeks, so I'm so glad to have him back. Mahdi, how are you doing? Doing good.
Andrew, dude. I got to tell you, it's always good to talk MMA with you again. Like, MMA is a drug. You know, we love it. We can't stay away for too long, and I'm glad to be back. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I know. So without further ado, we'll get into it. We are, just so you guys know, we'll have another episode this coming week covering everything UFC 291. That's one of the biggest cards of this summer. I cannot wait to get into it. Riley Lucas will also be on the show too, so that'll be awesome to get into. But yeah, I just want to jump into the fights that happened yesterday, which was UFC Fight Night, Aspinall versus Tybura. That happened in the UK. It was at the O2 Arena, sold out crowd. It was an amazing night. It definitely ranks up there in my top UK cards, but despite that, I just want to jump right into this main card. And one of the highlights for me was a big upset, at least in my eyes, and that was Paul Craig beating Andre Muniz via TKO in the second round. Personally, I thought Paul Craig would have had a lot more issues moving down in weight, but man, he looked amazing. He looked good on the striking, cardio-wise, his chin looked great. So, Mahdi, what was your opinions on this match? Did you like it?
Yeah, I did like it. And Andrew, I got to reiterate what you said. Moving from 205 all the way down to 185, you know, moving up and down the UFC, it's a bit of a tough thing, right? You want to think about like Kai Kara France and I think it's Cody Garbrandt, you know, that didn't go as well. But when I look at this fight, I see an over-the-age guy who's about 35 years old. Pour one out for the older guys, Clay Guida, Jorge Masvidal. But he's 35 years old, 7 performance bonuses, 6 submission wins. I believe it's second all-time to only Glover Teixeira. He moves down. And usually when you're moving down, you usually, or if you move up, you have an advantage, right? If you move up, you usually have the speed advantage. But moving down, I was like, where's the advantage here for Paul Craig? I didn't see it. And I thought unless he became like a supremely better wrestler, that he would lose this fight. But I got to tell you, this was nothing short of impressive shit, as they say in the business. I'm sorry, WFUV, if I can't curse. hats off to him. I mean, devastating ground and pound. And we knew he was great on the ground. But to do what he did at a lower division where no one thought, including myself, that he could get it done, I got to tip my hat off to this guy. I didn't think he could get it done, and he did. So I think he could make a real name for himself at middleweight. I think it's possible. He could be one of the best 8-7 fighters there.
Yeah, and I know we were discussing before the pod that you were thinking maybe Derek Brunson could be a good opponent. I do love that. I think Derek Brunson, Blonde Brunson, could pose a lot of challenges for him. But also, we were talking about maybe Bo Nickel. Mm-hmm. That could be another great fight. And also, I mean, either way this pans out, Paul Craig beats Bo Nickel, that's a huge up for him. And if Bo Nickel ends up beating Paul Craig, that's huge. That's such a hype train right there. So, Mahdi, do you think that fight's a good one?
I think that fight's absolutely good. I don't know if he takes down Bo Nickel. I mean, he got a rocket ship attached to his back right now. He's proven me wrong 1,000 times on the podcast. But absolutely, it's fireworks both ways. It's a win-win. I would even throw in a guy like Kelvin Gastelum, who's always like in the back. Like, you see him on Tough, he beats Uriah Hall after Uriah Hall's running through everybody. He gives Izzy a tough time. So Kelvin Gastelum is straight grit. Paul Craig is straight grit. So I think that fight will also work. I mean, I think he just needs a fight that tests his mettle with a guy who's a savvy vet in the division. And I think that he could make a name for himself, really.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think the sky's the limit for Paul Craig. I mean, I think honestly, what the biggest problem I had with him at 205 is that he seemed like he just kind of bounced around and was like one of those middling fighters. I feel like right now he has like a fresh start. So I'm really excited to see where he goes from here. But yeah, that was a
Yeah, make a
great fight.
change.
Yeah, great fight in the main card. But moving on though, I do want to talk about another pretty big upset, which was Julija Stoyanenko. That's a tough name to pronounce. She did defeat Molly McCann via sub in round one, which was a fantastic, just awesome submission. She was able to bring the fight to the ground, and then it looked like Molly McCann honestly kind of got out of danger from the back control, but then Julija just transitioned into a really slick armbar, and the fight was over from there. So what was your opinions on this one, Madi?
I'm scrolling through ESPN, trying to get my stuff together, and I see people are like, this is an upset. I gotta tell you, over the last two fights, the meatball got squashed. The meatball got eaten up with some spaghetti. I mean, if you look back to the last fight where Erin Blankovic, I believe her name is,
Yeah.
she got destroyed on the ground. Destroyed. The fight was over, it wasn't even close, and she couldn't even get up off her back. She tapped on the floor. So, and you look at a specialist like Julie, I wanted to say her name is Julia Stahl. Stalia
Yep, there we go.
Stoliarenko. She has a fantastic armbar and she could get submissions from any positions. And she's a very active fighter. After seeing what happened in her last fight, I didn't think that McCann was gonna get the win here. I think she's a very good boxer. She does initiate some offensive takedowns and she's very in your face. She can win some rounds with her boxing, but for me, this is what I expected. I expected that McCann would not win, actually. She's on the backside right now. And in terms of somebody that she could fight anyone, I think at this point she just needs a win just based off of the way that she lost the last two fights. Obviously, they're two high pedigree guy, pedigree girls, but it's just the way you lose a fight. So I think she just needs a
Yeah, no,
win by anyone right now.
I mean, I think I'm in the same kind of opinion as you, Madi. I think that 100% she needs to, just get back to an easy win. But why I think this was such a big upset was because, what's it called? Molly McCann, she did get pulverized by Erin Blankfield. And I felt like they queued up this fight for her to kind of, erase that. It seemed like Julija was kind of getting a little bit set up. I mean, if you look at her UFC record, I believe she's maybe 1-3 in the UFC, something like that. So it definitely seemed like a bit of a setup. So that's why I was expecting going in, like, oh, Molly McCann probably just going to get it done. But yeah, I mean, I think this just further exposes a very, very clear hole in her game, and that is the ground game. Sorry, a little bit of technical difficulties there, but just getting back to what my point was, I think that Molly McCann, I mean, it really exposed a big hole in her game, like you were saying, Madi, and that is her ground game. I mean, for it to happen against Erin Blankfield, I feel like that makes perfect sense. Erin Blankfield is a scary person when it comes to women's grappling. She's crazy. I mean, almost as good as Tatiana Suarez. But not too many people have heard of Julija over here, and this is a big fight for her, and I don't want to overshadow her win. It's a great win for her, but also, I mean, the onus was on Molly McCann to win this fight, and I think her not winning it really sheds a bad light on her, and I think she's going to have to do a lot to like get that away from her.
Yeah, she's the hype train. And hype trains is 50-50. You either end up as Darren Till or you could be I guess like Bo Nickel at this
Yeah.
point. So it's 50-50. So yeah, sure.
Very, very true. Yeah. So we'll see how Molly McCann, gets back from this. I could see another very easy tee up fight. We'll see if she wins it or not. But man, she needs to go back to lab, work on the grappling, figure that out. Which is crazy considering that she trains with Patty, who, is such a great grappler. It's weird. Yeah, but anyway,
Pretty
moving on.
close, those two. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. But moving on to the main event, we finally had the return of Tom Aspinall, which is actually fun fact. He got injured literally today last year, which is really weird to realize. And it was during the last UK event, I believe he was fighting Curtis Blaydes in the main event. And it just like, it was like literally 5 seconds into the fight where he threw a leg kick and it blew out.
Went
And
down.
he's been, yeah, and it was, real bad. And he's been out ever since then.
But finally, yesterday was his return to the octagon, and he got it done in probably the biggest fashion, I think, that you could have done it. He defeated Marcin Tybura via KO, TKO in round one. I put KO, TKO because I wasn't even sure if it was a KO or a TKO because, I mean, like, it looked like he knocked him out, and then Marcin came back too, and then he TKO'd him. Mm-hmm. So huge, huge, I mean, win for Tom Aspinall, and really carrying on the legacy, like, or not legacy, it's really carrying on the same mentality that he did before he got injured. I feel like a lot of guys, when they get injured, they kind of, you know, have a bit of a ring rust phase where they're really finding, like, themselves back in the octagon. But, man, he literally just started like he always has looked throughout his UFC tenure. So, really impressive stuff. Mahdi, what'd you see in this fight?
Andrew, I got to tell you, that's the perfect take. He's picking up right where he left off. And, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the party. Again, I think, a year ago today, he suffered a freak knee injury where he threw a leg kick and then Curtis Blaze went down. Prior to that, he was on a tear. I believe I wanted to say he was on a 5-fight win streak, and he had wins over Andre Arlovsky. He had wins over Alexander Volkov. Tom Aspinall's the real deal. I mean, he now has the shortest average fight time in UFC history, which I believe is around 2 minutes and 20 seconds. He has 6 UFC finishes since 2020, 5 in the first round. He's won 9 of his past 10, and his confidence is all the way there. I believe the first major shot that he threw was the same leg that he injured. You saw him kind of check Tiberio with it, and that confidence, that swagger that he has, the fact that he wants to go after John Jones, I just think he's a star. Tom Aspinall, in his very short UFC tender, he has a jetpack. He also has a jetpack attached to his back.
Yeah.
In terms of fights, I don't know. I think he's ready for the big guns. I think maybe like a guy like Cyril Gane is the first guy, because he said he's going to be there to fight to see September 2nd Cyril Gane take on, I forget who it is as of this moment.
Sergey Pavlovich.
Takes on Pavlovich. I think if he's able to get himself a fight with Gane and win, I think give him a shot. Give him a shot at the big boy. Give him a shot. I like Aspinall.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, this is like the perfect hype train, honestly, for me. Like,
perfect storm.
Exactly. It's the perfect storm, because a lot of times when you get a hype train, it's somebody that's, you know, really exciting to watch, but a little underdeveloped, like a Khamza or like a Paddy Pimblett, or even like a Molly McCann, like we were talking about just seconds ago. But Tom Aspinall, I feel like, is really, he's the polished, complete package.
Yeah.
I mean, he's polished. His grappling looks amazing. His speed is like unlike anything at heavyweight.
Big guy. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, so it, just everything about him, he seems like he's already at championship level, despite being a pretty relatively new fighter in the UFC. Mm-hmm. I think, at least for very early predictions, I think he beats Cyril Gane. I think Sergey Pavlovich can definitely give him some problems if he really blitzes him like Pavlovich loves to do. But, I mean, obviously the main goal here is John Jones. And, I mean, that's still up in the air if he's going to retire after he fights at UFC 295 or not. But if he sticks around, honestly, if Tom Aspinall is the next contender, like, that makes me want John Jones to stick around to fight this guy. That's how excited I am.
I mean, John Jones is the king, but anything can happen. I mean, you're looking at this fight and you hear Michael Bisping, amazing commentator, great fighter in his day. And he says that Tybura, who's also a monster in this division, who was on a 2-fight win streak himself, he's punching fresh air because you can't touch him. So few heavyweights move like Tom Aspinall, so fast, so quick, light on the feet. And he's just something special. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Total strikes that Tybura had, 4-15, 26%. Significant strikes, same thing. Zero take that. Like, you can't touch the guy. He's like a phantom. He's fast. He's smooth. He's slick. He's fun. He has everything of a star. He's the quintessential star in the UFC. Welcome to the party, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think you could put it a better way than welcome to the party, honestly. I mean, I can't wait to see where he goes from here. And honestly, no matter who he's matched up against, I'm going to be watching. I'm excited for it. Any fight he has from here on out, it's going to be awesome. So, absolutely. I mean, I can see him maybe being a champion in a couple of years, especially with what's going on with the John Jones situation. I mean, and also to just talk about it, too, is like another UK champion. That would be so great for the sport. It would be awesome. Yeah, because now we have Leon Edwards, and it felt like a while ago, like, you know, Michael Bisping was going to be the only guy that was ever a UK champion, but now we're starting to see them, you know, kind of emerge a little bit, so it's very, very cool. Very, very cool. So, yeah, I mean, that capped off UFC Fight Night in the UK. It was an awesome night. amazing, amazing fights, and you know, a big night for UK fighters. I'm glad that it definitely didn't hit for all of them, but for where it did, you know,
It
they
did.
definitely got a big night in the books. But moving on to some other news, I do want to talk about a couple other happenings just in the MMA world. And one of the biggest ones that actually came out this week is that Jamal Hill is officially relinquishing the light heavyweight belt after rupturing his Achilles tendon. And he actually said that this was possibly or probably caused by him fighting or not fighting, excuse me, him playing in DC's charity basketball game, which is crazy to think. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we both hope, I imagine, I don't know, we'll hear your opinion, Mahdi, that he gets well very, very soon. Really exciting fighter and a good personality. I was so looking forward to that Jiří fight. I felt like that was going to be so, so exciting. But
Oh, good.
yeah, I mean, the state of the light heavyweight division now is definitely in some sort of weird limbo now. I mean, we've had two champions relinquish the belt in like the past like 2 years alone. Is crazy. So I mean, Mahdi, what's your first take on this news?
I mean, if you look at the light heavyweight division as a, I mean, think about the amount of guys that look like John Jones relinquishes to DC's relinquishing his belt. Like this, I don't know. There may be something in the waters of the light heavyweight division. And again, the Jiří Jamahal Hill fight, that was going to be something really special. You see Jiří in the middle of the snow. He's like, I'm coming. And then, you know, Jamahal Hill with his classic. That's what she said. I feel like this fight was just fireworks and it sucks to see. He injured it in DC's basketball. You know, Patrick Mahomes, he has a clause in his contract that says that he actually can't play basketball for this exact reason. Kind of puts these guys in the box itself.
I
It
mean,
just sucks, you know?
honestly, you know, it sounded like, you know, like whenever I, because I've heard clauses like that too with like Patrick Mahomes, like can't play basketball or whatever. Or the other extreme where like Cowboy Cerrone writes into his contract that he can go like dirt biking on the weekends. But yeah, I mean, now looking at that, I mean, Jamal Hill might want to work that into his contract. That's all I'm saying. It seems like, you know, that's it's really unfortunate, but you might want to be safe rather than sorry. I don't know.
For their best interest, sometimes you got to save people from themselves, you know. I mean, it's a freak injury. He's playing basketball, for Christ's sake. It's not even like he's doing anything. He's not flipping off a freaking mountain. He's playing basketball, but you hate to see it happens. I wish him a speedy recovery because he's just a great champion, a wonderful personality. And that Jiří fight's going to happen regardless. He's going to come back, and Dana has to set that up. They have to.
Yeah, he has to honor his promise. I want to see that fight. But
I do
moving
as
on.
well.
Yeah, moving on though, UFC 294 officially announced, and there was a bit of controversy with this one because Paulo Costa pulled out of his fight with Ikram Aliskerov, and people were like, oh, just cut this man. What are you doing? Especially with all the controversy. But it comes out that actually now he's going to be fighting Khamzat Chimaev, and the other fights on this card are awesome. I'm just going to go through it. So is Ikram Aliskerov is now instead scheduled to fight Nasruddin Imavov, who's ranked 13 at middleweight. That's a huge fight for him, especially considering he only has one fight in the UFC right now. And then for the main event, we got the rematch that I know Mahdi is so excited for. It is the rematch between Islam Makhachev and Charles Oliveira for the lightweight belt. I'm so excited for this fight. I cannot wait. I believe it's going down, yep, in, I believe it's Fight Island, actually. So that should be awesome to see. First takes on this card, though. I mean, I imagine you're happy, right, Mahdi?
You know what? Dubronx is my boy. I caught the fight against Beneil Dariush. And again, Dubronx is just a, like, variety is the spice of life with this guy. Like, he has so much in his arsenal. He's so flashy. And he's much improved from that Islam Makhachev fight. And I think everybody realized that. I think Khabib was probably at home with his eyes, like, popping out of his head at how fantastic he finished Dariush. But Dubronx is a champion. I don't know if Makhachev, you know, guys from the Khabib tree, you know, you don't ever bet against them. It's Khabib, it's Islam, it's like,
yeah, that's like Riley's favorite line.
yeah, you don't bet against them, but they have company. They really do have company. Charles Oliveira is here, and he has the makings of like the greatest, well, hyperbole. He could be the greatest lightweight of all time, potentially. He's in that conversation.
I mean, if he comes back and gets the belt, 100% he's in that conversation.
We got to talk about Charlie.
Yeah, honestly, we do. And I'm interested to see how Makhachev goes into this fight, considering his last fight was against Volkanovski, and that was a very, very close fight that a lot of people straight up thought that he lost. So I'm interested to see how he bounces back against a guy that is probably as dangerous, if not more dangerous, at least from a physical perspective, in Du Bronx. So I cannot wait for that card. I am so excited. I cannot wait. When is that going down? Yeah, October 21st. I can barely wait, honestly.
Yo, I gotta tell you, man, Errol Spencer's Crawford coming up. That card
Oh,
is coming. Oh my God,
I
you're
know.
looking good
Wait,
right now.
yeah. So we're totally going to dedicate some time to Errol Spence
Yes.
as well. I think that'll probably be next week. When is that fight going down?
That fight will be going down. I want to say it's forgive me if I, oh my God.
Pretty soon.
It's pretty soon. It's
Yeah.
gonna be the, let me see. I should be better prepared.
No worries.
Dude.
Well,
Oh my
either way,
God.
though, whenever it rolls around, we're going to
The
be covering it.
29th. The
The
29th.
29th. There we go. So expect the week leading up to the 29th. We're going to be unpacking all that goodness. I know, Mahdi, this is like your dream fight. So I'm going to let
Four
you take the whole
years.
stage. I know, 4 years.
Four years. We've been waiting 4 years.
Craziness. But moving on to the last little bit of news, though, just a little bit of levity before we close up this episode of Pound for Pound. And I am ha well, I don't know if I'm actually happy to say. I think I would have been more happy if it actually happened the way that I predicted it would happen. But McGregor finally gets a win on top, and now he officially avoids the Ultimate Fighter clean sweep, which would have been the first in the show's history. He was one fight away from having an entire clean sweep where Chandler wins all of his fights, or coaches all of his fighters to victory, in that preliminary round, essentially kind of blocking McGregor out of the competition. But luckily, in that last fight, one of McGregor's fighters was actually able to get the job done. And I'm pretty sure, Mahdi, you've seen the clip of him freaking out and running down the
The
octagon while yelling.
celebration. Did you see Henry Cejudo's reaction to
Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was
His coke
ridiculous.
dealer arrived. I'm sorry, WFUV. This is a family show. But hats off to Connor. You're a great coach.
Yeah.
You're a fantastic coach. And yay, flowers. I'm not
Yeah,
saying
flower.
anything.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, honestly, as this progresses, I mean, like, I could see McGregor putting all of his like heart and soul into this one dude. So who
Yes.
knows? Maybe this guy will turn out to be like the next big thing. Or if he ends up losing, we'll get another clip that will be, all over Instagram and Twitter of him freaking out. Either way, I think we're winners
I do have to say this. Let me give Connor his credit. I did see some clips of him training his guys, and he's a very motivational guy. He's like, come on, bring the energy. This is something that you do. He sings. He's like, I'm singing because I love to do this. Guys, you guys gotta sing. You guys gotta sing. This is what you love to do. This is your life. So he seems like a very I know in basketball we have something called players coach. He seems like more like a fighter's coach. And I like the insight that he gives, but still. You're not winning anymore. So that's done with.
Yeah, we'll
That's done
see.
with.
We'll see. But yeah, I think that wraps up this installment of Pound for Pound. I want to give a massive thanks to my co-host Mahdi Dembele. As always, it is a great conversation talking MMA with you. And
Always
I
with
also
you.
want to yep, and I also want to give a big thanks to our producer Merrick Rhodes. Thank you for producing this on short notice. We really do appreciate it. And also, just a big shout out to our sports director here at WFUV, Bobby Chaffardini. Make sure you tune into Pound for Pound next week, where we get into everything UFC 291. I can barely wait. It's going to be so exciting. So make sure you tune into that. But yeah, so have a great day. And I'm Andrew Canary, and we will see you guys next time.